The good thing about this is that any one of us at any stage, any time of our life, can choose to develop any kind of culture that we desire. You can change any prevalent culture that is abnormal and develop any new kind of culture that you would prefer, because it is subject to change based on your ability to first change your thought process and allow your thought process influence your patterns of behavior. That's how culture change, and then superintending it until it becomes more of the norm than the exception. So today, my main intention is to take you through the kind of culture. How do you form that culture? I want you to understand culture. I really want to go deep into this, because as a pastor and as a teacher, a coach, and a mentor, sometimes many people ask, I have done this, done that, not done this, but I'm still where I'm at. Sometimes you need to look at your culture. You need to look at your culture, because culture is so powerful. It determines your attraction or your rejection. It determines whether what you get is an open door or a closed door, because it will speak to your attitude. It will speak to the perceptions that people have about you. And sometimes, unfortunately, perceptions are considered like reality. So this is very critical for you to know that culture, again, is not something you leave to chance. All right, let's look at a few scriptures as we dive deeper into the concept of a difference-making culture. In the Bible, in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1, we see a profound statement made by the writer of the book of Acts, who was Dr. Luke. He's the same fellow that wrote the gospel according to St. Luke. He said, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach." That's the NIV translation, Acts 1:1. "In my former book," addressing a man, Theophilus, "I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach." That's an order you can't miss, a sequence you can't miss. That scripture tells us that Jesus was a master, an expert at establishing required culture. Of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. That's how you form cultures. You know, because first and foremost, people will do what you do much more than what you say or require. They do what you do. So that's why culture is behavior. It's behavior. Your behavior is your culture. So Jesus began to do what he wanted his followers to do. So later he could say, "Be ye followers of me, as you know, be ye followers," say, look unto me and follow me and do as I do. I'll get to that scripture. But he didn't just do it or leave it. He taught it. He taught it. My God. No wonder it was so easy for people to look at his followers and say, "These are like Christ." Because again, that's what leaders do. Leaders don't leave culture to chance. They speak to every material particular. They talk about everything, from the dressing to the arrangement to the way you speak to superiors, contemporaries, or inferiors. Nothing is left to chance, because it's culture. Culture is everything you are, you do. So Jesus began to do it in order to show the way, and then he began to teach it. Because culture is not something you leave to chance. Because you will discover there are still some people, regardless of how excellent your behavioral pattern is, some people just don't get it until you demand it, or you teach them, or you help them see. They probably might even be looking at how you act as being too perfection oriented, too detailed, too demanding, too exacting. Sometimes that's how people look at it. If they are coming from a culture of laissez-faire, you know, nonchalance. They might see you as being too demanding. So you've got now teach them the benefits, teach them the how, teach them the why, so that they can not only see you do it, they can understand you expect them to also live by the same standard. And then a couple of other things I'll be teaching later you need to do in order to establish it. So we fast forward, listen to this now, in John chapter 13, verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Again, the master culture architect, Jesus himself. Can I repeat that scripture? He said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. That's how cultures are formed. So Jesus was an expert in culture formulation. He understood quite well that he couldn't allow his disciples to just act by chance, by default, according to how they feel, how they don't feel. No. No effective leader, no exceptional leader allows his or her environment to be subject to the whims and caprices, the vagaries, the likes and dislikes of people. No. That's why, listen, friend, listen to this. There are places you go to, you can predict how you will be treated, how you will be received, how things will flow, how you will be served, how you will be regarded. Do you know why you can predict it? Because somebody did not leave it to chance. They exemplified it, they taught it, they demanded it. And so you go and you can compare how excellent they work in one place as against another. Friends, culture is important. Whether it's in your bedroom, your living room, your boardroom, the community room, the playground, you've got to establish your culture. You've got to. So Jesus, knowing he had come to establish a faith, a movement, he said to his disciples, I have been teaching you by example and by precept, by words. And now I am demanding that the same way I acted with you and to you, the same way you must act with others and to others, so that that way we can establish a pattern that is known to us and predictable. Friends, that's culture. That's culture.